I'm LaVon.
I'm Miss Nene.
Welcome back to Family Fun in the Kitchen with LaVon and Miss Nene. Remember that we'd love to hear from you, your comments. If you've tried something and you'd say, you know, occasionally somebody has told me, you know, it didn't work out quite the way I expected to. We really want to hear that as well as the rave comments of, wow, that was really great.
Yes.
Because we do have different experiences in the kitchen. And you know, Miss Nene, that you share a recipe you've made many times and somebody else will make it and say, it didn't turn out quite right.
I know.
Right.
We all have different handling techniques.
We do.
And we have different ovens. We might have different size measuring cups, even though they're supposed to be standardized measuring cups. They can vary with the quantity of particularly flour that they hold. And so oftentimes it's better to have a small kitchen scale on hand and weigh that flour or those dry ingredients. And if you're interested in becoming very exact.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, like I say, we appreciate all of the comments. And if you don't get a website, you know, we're always glad to hear from you at KJN or in person when we see you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's pumpkin season, LaVon.
It is.
Yes. And I don't think we get out of pumpkin season until we get into the Christmas season.
I think that's right, at least through Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Maybe on. And we probably should be using pumpkin all year long, but we sort of have these traditions.
And it comes with, this one particular one with pumpkin comes with fall. The colors of fall, and of course that vibrant orange of pumpkins or the beautiful white ones that we see or the multicolored ones, they're just fantastic. They're, each one is just created so uniquely. But today, let's talk about a recipe called Chocolate Swirled Pumpkin Bars. And this recipe I adapted from one in Better Homes and Gardens Fall Baking. That magazine has been my go-to magazine this fall to try new recipes. There have been a lot of exciting recipes in there, some that don't appeal to me, but many of them that have. And when I try a recipe, it doesn't matter what it's the source, I make it as it is posted, and then I say, oh no, I wouldn't do this. I would change this. And sometimes I even change the recipe ingredients before I even make it because I think this is going to appeal to me better.
And that's because of your experience.
Yes.
Many times, if you have lots of experience in cooking and baking, you can look at a recipe and say, this isn't going to work, or this is going to be fantastic. And you'll probably be correct. But if you don't have that experience, maybe it's best to try it first, exactly, because whoever provided the recipe has tried it out, and they like it.
Yep, I had a food professor once who told me, you always taste your food before you serve it to your friend, to the public, to your friends, whoever. And I know this is true, and she was talking more about cooking, but I've also transferred that over to my baking process. And there are many times, I know, even if there are eggs in the batter, I will taste that batter just because I want to know what, if I'm experimenting with a recipe or if I'm creating a recipe, I want to know, do I need to add another zip of this or another half teaspoon or another fourth teaspoon of this? That's the creator part in me in working with a recipe. And because I want to have as best a final product as possible. But you are right, LaVon. The people who have created these recipes and published them in publications, periodicals, it appeals to their taste buds, and their taste panels have said, yes, this is how we want it to be published. I do want to mention in this recipe for Chocolate Swirled Pumpkin Bars that it did call for a quarter teaspoon of cloves. Now, when I associate work baking with pumpkin, I associate work the spices of cinnamon, nutmeg, cloves, and perhaps ginger. And of course, you can wind that all up, even just using pumpkin pie spice too. But I, knowing how I am not a big fan of cloves, because it just gives too much more power for the punch.
Kind of overpowers some of the others in your taste buds.
Yes. I reduced that amount. And so the recipe that we will be publishing is only calls for an eighth teaspoon of ground cloves. And I hope that if you try this recipe that you will enjoy it with that amount of cloves in it. It did not have any ground nutmeg in it, and I do enjoy ground nutmeg, so I added a half teaspoon of ground nutmeg. Now realize this produces a 10 by 15 pan of bars. It's not just an 8x8.
And that's a bit unusual, not mm-hmm. not completely, but so often recipes are in an 8x8 or a very small pan.
Yes.
Now you're going to get a big batch. That's a plus as far as I'm concerned. It takes about the same amount of work whether you're going to put it in the
exactly.
little pan or the big pan.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get a nice result here in terms of number.
And the bars are almost more like a cake. And then they have the pumpkin cake. And then there is a chocolate cream cheese mixture that is dolloped on top of the pumpkin batter once it's in the pan. And then my favorite part, Levon,
is
where you get to be an artist. And taking a spatula or a table knife, and I have my designated table knife that I use for all swirling, whether it doesn't matter if it's bars or cheesecakes or cakes or whatever, and just have fun swirling that chocolate cream cheese mixture throughout the pumpkin batter and become an pumpkin artist for the day.
Now, I could see children helping with this. And
my
question is, great fun. Can you overdo the swirling?
Yes, you can. And I could have had chocolate pumpkin bars rather than chocolate swirled pumpkin bars. Yes, because if you do continue to swirl too much, that darker batter will get completely swirled in with the pumpkin batter, and it won't be nearly as pretty. And we do eat with our eyes.
That's right. But mm-hmm. this would be a great opportunity for kids to get involved. Just don't walk away. Just kind of
yep.
watch. And again, their experience will tell them that, it's time to stop. After they've done it a few times, then they'll know, no, we're not stirring this in. We're just swirling.
Yes. And this recipe does call for 1 15-ounce can of pumpkin. I am a big lover of pumpkin recipes that call for the entire can of pumpkin. Now, I guess I just like to have it all used up so that I can go on to another recipe and play with that one. But a 15-ounce can of pumpkin is not quite 2 cups of pumpkin. So if you do have a recipe that only calls for a cup of pumpkin, you know that you more than likely can either double that recipe or you can find another recipe mm-hmm. that would use the remaining pumpkin.
Do you think in your experience that the difference between a 15-ounce can and mm-hmm. 2 cups is a big difference?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's one of those things that you just say, okay, we're just going to use what we have and go on and not worry about extra ounce.
You can't buy a 16-ounce can of pumpkin. It's all 15-ounce, so that's what you're going to use.
That's right. And sometimes, too, I know it does happen this time of year, maybe not so much now, but as we get closer to Thanksgiving, that cans of pumpkin do go on sale. You can purchase them for a really great price. I use scads of pumpkin, and I think I use over 500 cans of pumpkin a year. And so I try to purchase in my quantity when it's on sale, and because that canned pumpkin it doesn't go bad. It's just perfect.
Not for lots.
Yep.
I don't know that it would ever go bad. The quality, I think, after 10 years might be nuts.
Yes. I wouldn't recommend keeping it 10 years.
Usually there is a date on there, a use-by
yes.
date, so you might want to take a look at that. But,
mm-hmm.
Buying, if you know you're going to use some, buy some extra, you
mm-hmm.
bet.
Mm-hmm. And I always think of a bar cookie or a drop cookie, a cookie, you might say, as being a great introductory recipe for kids to use to bake with. This one may be a little more complicated because of the swirl, but if you're have an artist in the family and loves to make food pretty, this would be very much fun for them to make. The first 8 ingredients, all the dry ingredients, are just all mixed together anyway, and so you have established great measuring skills that the children can use. Put that all in a bowl and whisk those dry ingredients together. Then the liquid ingredients get mixed up, the dry ingredients are added to it, and then pour it into a foil-lined 15x10 pan. And why do you say foil-lined? Because that way, after the bars are baked and cooled, they can go into the freezer just for an hour to firm up a little bit. That makes take them out of the freezer, peel away that foil, and the cutting of those bars is so much easier.
And you have a cleaner pan, too.
Oh, exactly. I know it. I do that all the time.
All right. So be sure to look at our website, or if you don't have the website, ask us.
Mm-hmm. And you can call or write to KJAN, we'd be more than happy to send this recipe to you. Take these bars to the field, too. There'd be your guys and gals in the field would enjoy it. Or go to our website, KJAN.com, click on Family Fun in the Kitchen, and there you will find the recipe, the podcast that we just chatted about today, and also photos that show how to make these pumpkin chocolate swirled pumpkin bars. So remember, make some fond family memories in the kitchen.